Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church on a beautiful Sunday morning. I would like to recognize any first-time visitors this morning. Are there any first-time visitors in the section to my left? Anyone here this morning for the first time?
A lady out in the hall in the passageway named Josephine. It's been long since she's been here.
It has been a long time. It has been a long time. We're glad to have you back, Miss Josephine. Any first-time visitors in the middle section here? Any first-time visitors? Any first-time visitors in the section to my right? Yes. Okay, welcome. Okay, good. Welcome. The registration pads have been passed out there. If you would register your attendance and then pass that down to your neighbor in the pew there, and we'll get all your vitals. Right now, I'd like to go to any announcements. There's several that are printed in the bulletin. Are there any that need to be brought to our attention? Yes, sir, Mr. Rick.
Well, I would like to thank everybody for the broken and our attempt at buying the farm out here. Just to give you some quick results, it was finished up in August, okay? And if you remember, about 6 weeks ago, Larry had a sermon about who's our neighbors and whatnot like that. Well, our neighbors are all over, and they're next door and across town and across the world. And our attempt at buying the farm, we've raised $150, and I want to say thank you very much for that. And I do mean that. We had a little contest going along with that, where you put your, as you donated your money, what were you donating in toward? We had a three-way tie. We had a three-way tie for the cow, for the pig, for the rat. Okay. The pig, I don't know how much the cow was, but we didn't get that, so we'll excuse that. But the closest, we definitely can buy a bunch of rats, which are very multiplied, you know, we have a good rat. Now, if we want to step it up one notch, we need $75 toward the pigs, which we can buy three pigs and send overseas. So if anybody's interested, one last shot to buy those pigs, we need to raise up $75. Or we'll buy rabbits for what we got. And I want to say thank you for all your help that we have done. Thank you very much.
Any other announcements this morning that we need to... Yes?
If you do want to put somebody in the kitchen, there's a box out there. If you don't remember, there's a box out there. Put somebody in the box that you leave this afternoon. And I'll put all of them on the box. So we're going to win both one more time. There you go.
Oh, you're fine. Any other announcements this morning? Yes, Susan.
I sent the bulletin for youth announcements, but we start our Wednesday night dinner this Wednesday. So please come and join us, and we'll be cooking again.
Very good. Anyone else this morning? Any announcements we need to have brought to our attention?
Next Sunday, we've encouraged to fill this place up. And we did try to do it through postcards, but we put a couple signs up maybe even unfriendly sign this morning. I thought they were kind of friendly, but one of my friends thought they were a little bratty, but that's okay. Didn't mean to be unfriendly, but encouraging everybody who's a member or constituent. We plan to get to be here next Sunday. We plan to get a postcard in the mail so you can get it by Sunday as a reminder. And hopefully the summer's over after today till the next holiday comes anyway. And go from there.
Any other announcements? If not, I'd ask you to read your bulletin. There are several things that are taking place in the next few months and weeks in the church here, and that's a good way to keep up with them. Let's go now to our prayer concerns. We have quite a few folks on the prayer list. Do we have any updates on those who are there? Any additions? Anyone needs to be taken off? Prayer concerns this morning.
Fred,
yes, ma'am.
I think there's Fairy Freeman that was on the prayer list, but she passed away this morning. That's Stone's grandmother.
Okay.
Yeah, she's listed, but she was. You pray for her, and now pray for her
the family.
She's going to be tomorrow sometime in Columbus, Mississippi.
And there's one other prayer. Liz was called Friday night, and she said Chandler's baby, I forgot Chandler's last name, his friend at the lesson, her baby needs prayer.
Okay. Anyone else this morning? Any prayer concerns?
Margaret Naylor will have foot surgery this week. Margaret Naylor, N-A-R-O-E.
My father goes in, Ray Smith, goes in Tuesday for an MRI to determine if he is a candidate for a stent for an abdominal aneurysm that he has. So we like prayer for that and for a positive outcome.
Yes. Okay. Ray Smith. You have one, Susan? Anyone else this morning that we need to remember in prayer? I would ask you if when we pass out the offering plates, there are little cards there in the pews in front of you. If you'll write down their name and their to be added to the prayer list, that way we get the correct spelling so you can put it in the offering plate and it's passed in front of you there. And I'd urge you to continue to pray for all of those and include those that have been added this morning and pray for them as often as you possibly can. Let us prepare for worship at this time, and if you would bow your heads and join me in a moment of silence. Amen. Worship. It's printed in the left-hand side of your bulletin. It is responsive, if you would join along with me. O God, you forsake not your people, nor abandon your heritage. Justice will return to the righteous, for the upright to follow.
You have become my stronghold, O God, the rock of my refuge. When my foot slips, you will uphold me.
We worship God, who brings comfort and hope.
You might notice I'm not Sam or Julie. And I teach a Sunday school class, but I don't like to be called a teacher. I'd rather be called a facilitator, because I think teacher means that I guess I know something. I'm still learning, so I like to be called the facilitator of that class. And I'm not your music leader this morning. I'm your music facilitator. 97 is the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Please stand.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. For prayer. As you notice in verse 4, it talks about that yonder sacred throne, and it says, we at His feet may fall. With that throne of people around the world who gather for worship each Sunday. So many are gathered today. We do now join with them. We are at the feet of Jesus for Him to teach us the everlasting song, the song of praise. Lord, You are our Lord and our God. You are the King of creation, the King of our lives, and as we come into Your sanctuary this morning, we thank You for Your presence with us. We thank You for calling us to be a part of Your kingdom, and we thank You for the opportunity to come apart from the world, to turn our thoughts to You, to hear Your word, to offer praise and adoration to You, to make our contributions or give our gifts to Your cause and to the building of Your kingdom. Lord, we thank You that we can be Your people and You will be our God. And we thank You especially that You sent Jesus Christ to redeem us from our fallen state and to give us a second chance and set us on a new path that we might give honor and glory to You. Speak to us in this hour that we might know better how to serve You and honor You. In the name of Jesus we pray, praying even now as He taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated as we sing our next song.
Hymn is hymn 98. Next page over from where we were before. First, third, and fifth. For our statement of faith, it's the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hymn 499, There's Sunshine in My Soul.
On a day like today, it's hard to not think about sunshine and think about the gifts that God has given us and the beauty of the earth. And I think this song really exemplifies that. Children's time now. If the boys and girls want to come down and have children's time with Miss Andrea, and don't forget, stay in the sanctuary here because there is no children's church because we're having communion. So if you'll stay in here after you've heard.
learning your ABCs. Anybody? Well, I heard this week on the radio a lady talking about giving thanks to the Lord, and she said that the way that she got up every morning was and gave thanks to the Lord was to start by reciting her ABCs, and she gave thanks for something for every letter of the alphabet. And Mr. John, Ruby talked about the animals that you're putting money in, you know, to buy animals for and vote for. Well, there's number one. We're thankful for the animals. B, we're thankful for blessings. C, we're thankful for church. And, you know, you could go all the way through. And just think, if we started every morning like that, how would it take?
That's a happy thing.
We think about all the things that we truly should be thankful for that the Lord has provided for us. In Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18, I think, it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and give thanks for everything that is the will of God for Jesus Christ. We want to remember that, and we want to get up every day. And if it helps you to start with the letter A and go all the way through to Z, then that's a great way to do it. Let's go ahead and sing with Miss Bell. Come on.
I need the assistance of Jane Sharpton, Diane Riggs, Jamie Grove, Pete Franciscan, Julie Bomar, and Louis Justice. Have your Bible or a pew Bible. Went to a meeting, last Sunday, I guess. And I might have been the only one that took a Bible, and I was the only had the New Testament. Should I ask who brought a Bible this morning? Not your pew Bible. One. Okay, two. Okay, from home. Brought one from home. Three. Good, good. Four, five, six. Okay. But if you'd like to follow,
There's two Bibles available. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and following. Paul's instruction, the Apostle Paul instructs the Corinthian Christians concerning partaking of the Lord's Supper. We have Matthew, Mark, and Luke account instructions where we have Jesus instituting the supper, and then here Paul comes along and instructs the church according as Jesus has revealed it to him. And then even in 1 Corinthians here, we have Paul quoting the words of Jesus. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, Paul's words again. "For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." So we not only remember, we also show forth. We proclaim through our partaking his death that was for us. If you're a visitor here, we have open communion. That means if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome to join us as we eat and drink. This is not a Presbyterian or Cumberland Presbyterian table. We see it as the Lord's table. And so if you trust in Jesus, if Jesus is your Lord, we invite you to join us as we eat and drink. As we have read where Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, let us offer thanks for this bread. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread, but we thank you more especially for what it represents. Jesus' body broken for us. Lord, we come humbly thanking you for your willingness to send him and allow it to happen, and his willingness to go to the cross for us, where his body would be broken. Lord, we thank you that he was willing to do this for our forgiveness, for our salvation, for our redemption, that we might be saved from the penalty of our sin. Lord, bless this bread. Let it be for us Jesus' body. Help us through it to remember, but also to proclaim. In his name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The cup, representing the blood of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the shedding of the blood of Jesus. That you were willing for him, your Son, to come and to live amongst your people and to die for them. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin that we find in the shedding of blood. And Father, we're a bit confused how crimson blood could wash us and make us pure and spotless like driven snow. But Father, we know this is a symbolic thing. And we thank you for it. We thank you that your forgiveness, though, is real. And thank you for the shed blood through which our sins are forgiven. Bless this cup, not only that we would remember, but that we could show forth. In His name, that precious name of Jesus. Amen. Would you serve the people? Thank you.
Now express our thanks to God for the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning is taken from Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If the ushers would please come forward. Thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Philemon, verses 4 through 22, and also from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. You can follow along in your Bibles or just print it in your bulletin as well. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal you in this basis of love. Then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor that you do will be spontaneous and not be forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have been back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Now from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to a war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has, cannot be my disciple." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Does everyone have a little outline sheet? If you don't have, kind of hold up your hand. I'll get somebody to hand you one. Some back here. And as you're doing that, would somebody get us some outline sheets and make sure that everybody has one? Who would do that for us, Pete? They all gone? We didn't have that many people. Wade, I believe you have some guests. You have your mom. Okay. Maybe some over here. I'm going to ask you to take that piece of paper, and after you hear this quote from Martin Luther, the man who started the Lutheran Church, is a good Catholic priest and tried to bring about some reform, tried to preach salvation by faith and not by works, and wrote a big long paper about it, and ended up being
sent away.
Luther made a statement concerning, or he is, it's attributed to him, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, suffers nothing is worth nothing. Think about that. Now, thinking about that on your outline sheet, that's why we've been having so many of these leftover each Sunday. Got a lot of scratch pads on Joyce's desk and my desk. On your outline sheet, I wish you would list the back of it. Do you have a pencil available? Three things. Why three? That's that magic biblical number, right? Three things are three occasions, are three experiences, three places where you have made a real sacrifice or a little sacrifice. Just made some kind of a sacrifice for the kingdom of God, for Jesus and His kingdom. Or we might take it someplace where you've had to take up a cross. Not a little cross like you wear around your neck. No, not a cross between two candles
on the altar. A lot of times I've taken that up and moved it around the church. List where you have taken up a cross. Been a cross barrier for the kingdom of God, for Jesus. We'll get back to that. These may come to you during the preaching, and they may come to you tomorrow. But we're not going to think only of the past. Let's think about the future also, or maybe the present. Past, present, or future. Somewhere you'll get to consider crosses that you need to bear. Sacrifices that you need to make. Yesterday I remembered that incident in John's Gospel. So yes, I didn't wait till yesterday to start on my sermon, but it got some additions yesterday. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Jesus is speaking to a group, and he has a number of followers. A rather large number of followers. And then, Jesus says a lot of things in chapter 5. He says a lot of things in chapter 6. Chapter 5 is from verse 19 through 47 is all red in the red letter edition. And then in chapter 6, there's a sprinkling of redness. And Jesus has taught them. And I thought of this incident where they begin to say, "That teaching's a little hard. We're not sure that we want to be a part of this. We're not sure that we want to be a part of this." Now they're called disciples. A disciple being a student, a learner. Now how committed they were, read John chapter 6 and you'll see that they were not committed very deeply. And somewhere along the way in the latter part of the chapter, we see that they apparently had only been listening to him. And it says that many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. When the going
began to get rough, they were not tough enough. Or when the going began to get tough, they were not tough enough to stick with it. They left. One of the things that I think Jesus was careful about, as you read His Gospels, He was careful to say to those who would follow Him, folks, it won't be easy. It will be difficult if you really want to follow Me. It's not a bed of roses. It's not banana pudding every day. Maybe some days we don't eat. So many of His disciples turned away and deserted Him. Actually, He had begun to talk about eating His body and drinking His blood, and not as a countable wood, but in a symbolic way. But taking Him into their life, letting Him be a part of their life. More than once in the Gospels, Jesus spoke of it being a difficult life to be His disciple. One example is Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. He spoke of the necessity of taking up a cross and following Him if we would come after Him or if we would be one of His disciples. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 21, there's that event of the rich young ruler coming to Jesus. And he asked Jesus, one version says it, he said, what must I do to get to heaven? What can I do to get to heaven? What do I've got to do? Jesus told this particular one to sell all of his goods and give the money to the poor. And he says, then you will have treasures in heaven. And then Jesus says, come, follow me. That come, follow me is he had to trust Jesus with his life. He had to cease trusting in those material benefits, those goods. And he was very rich, this passage concludes with. He was very rich. So the young man went away sad, or sadly went away. The King James says sorrowful. But he couldn't part with his goods. He was trusting in them, and he was holding on to them tighter than he ought to have been. They meant too much to him. We might notice how all of those 12 disciples who followed Jesus died. At least 11 of 12, we know how they died. There was a replacement for Judas, and we even know how he died, or very, very strong evidence. We can't prove it, but we don't have to, because we're people of faith, are we not? Hear how these fellows died. Simon, not Simon Peter, Simon, the other Simon, he was crucified, nailed to a cross. That's what crucifixion means. Andrew died on a cross. Bartholomew, while he was still alive, his body was flayed. Cut till he died. James, the son of Zebedee, head cut off. You see these fellows, these people in the Middle East having their head removed? It happened to Jesus' disciples. Nothing new. Nothing new. James, the other James, not the son of Zebedee, not the brother of John, beaten to death. Thomas,
run through with a lance, a spear. Matthias, the one that replaced Judas, stoned, then his head chopped off. Exciting life, was it not? Matthew, slain by a sword. Peter, Simon Peter, crucified, but upside down. He didn't feel worthy to be crucified like his master, his Savior, was crucified. So he asked to be crucified upside down. Thaddeus, shot with arrows. Variety, was it not? Philip, hanged. John the Evangelist. We know that John the Baptist was beheaded. He wasn't one of the 12, though. But John the Evangelist, the brother of James, the beloved disciple he was called, he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, maybe died an old man, real old man. We're not sure how he died. And you can read this and, wow. But not an exciting wow that me there. It's, wow. You mean it? Tough. They had to be tough. How do we compare? One promise that I want to call to your attention. Peter, it's in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, 29, and 30. Jesus was talking about leaving all and coming and follow. Leaving all and coming and follow. He had talked about it's easier for a camel to go through it, the eye of a needle, than it was for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They said, who can be saved? And Jesus said that with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. It's God that saves us. We don't save ourselves. Out of His mercy and grace, through our faith, we put our faith in Him. And He gives us enough faith to put in Him. Ephesians 2, what? 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Even the faith is a gift of God. The faith with which we believe is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. None of us can boast of having done anything to earn our salvation except to reach out and take the gift of eternal life, or the gift of salvation. That He can order. All we have been able to do is just receive it. Just receive it. Or claim it, some people say. But Jesus answered concerning those who had a... Well, Peter said, Lord, we've left all to follow You. And Jesus made a promise. Said to him, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for My sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. These people knew how dangerous it was to serve Jesus. They had stood on the sideline at a far distance and watched their master Jesus being nailed to the cross. They knew it would be tough. But they stuck with Him because the Spirit of God so motivated them and moved them. The Holy Spirit touched them. And they gave themselves to the control of the Holy Spirit, and they stuck with it. Luke chapter 14. verse 25 through 33, Jesus speaks of the necessity of those who would follow Him being willing to give up all for Jesus. He was calling for all for Jesus. Jesus is calling for them to give their lives, trusting Him. Luke 9:23. Matthew 8:34. Mark 8:34. Matthew 16:24. Reverse order is the way they are in the Bible, see. Luke 9:23, Mark 8:34, Matthew 16:24. All of these, all three of these verses, one is Mark's version, one is Luke's version, and one is Matthew's version, of recording what Jesus had said. All of them are in agreement. Have Jesus calling His disciples to cross-bearing, or to sacrificial living, if you will. Self-denial. Deny self. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, and Luke is careful to add daily. Take up his cross daily, or to insert daily. Did Jesus not say daily in the others? The others just leave it out. This daily says that it's not to offer yourselves as a martyr unless it's absolutely necessary. We can't do much as a dead martyr for the kingdom of God, can we? And we can't follow Jesus except from this life into heaven if we're dead, can we? Take up his cross daily and follow Jesus. He had been commenting on his own death. It was coming and he knew it. Simon Peter didn't want to hear about it. I guess none of the disciples did, but Simon Peter's the one that spoke up. He says, "You've got to be kidding, Jesus. Oh, you know this is not going to happen to you." And Jesus quickly said, "It's going to happen." Jesus knew it was going to happen before He left heaven and came to earth. It's going to happen. I'm going to have to die on a cross. So he commented on his own suffering, being spit upon, being ostracized, being laughed at. And just reflect back to the movie The Passion, and you can just see maybe a bit of it. Now there's one word, and I'm careful to point this word out: hate. And Jesus said, you've got to hate everybody. At the same time, the same person, in the same short 3 years, talked about how we could care for our fellow man. We see how he went himself to Peter's house and healed Peter's sick, feverish mother-in-law. We can also see how much he cared for Martha and Mary, and how much they cared for their brother Lazarus who had died. We can also remember how he made provisions for his mother, his own mother, while he hung from the cross. He made sure that John remembered, "Take care of my mother. Behold, your mother." And then we run across this word, hate. And I don't know the whole story, how the word hate got in there, but in Aramaic, as it was spoken, there are some limitations in getting it translated to English. and I don't know Aramaic, but I am told that the word hate, a proper translation would be love less. And if we don't love those attachments of this life less than we love Him, we cannot be a part of His kingdom. If any earthly attachment stands in the way of God and us serving in God's kingdom, we have to make a choice. Now, in my life, I had to make few choices. In your life, you've had to make few choices. But should a choice be made? And in Jesus' day, many who became Christians were never spoken to by their family again. Some of them they would have a funeral for and declare him dead. And in some communities now, if an individual becomes a Christian, the non-Christian part of the family will have a funeral for that person. They're to them like they're dead. If we have to make a choice between the attachments of this life and our eternity with God, Jesus is saying we need to love Him more. He needs to come first, because He's the only one that can get us into heaven. Turn our backs on these attachments, or turn our backs on the kingdom. That's the choice He is saying. We must know, and much that has been promoted as encouragement to get people to come into the kingdom of God has shown the other side of this and never mentioned this. But we must know, as one has put it, discipleship demands a price. Some were presented, it's almost like if you'll become a believer in Jesus, you get a big prize. But to become a real disciple of Jesus demands a price. Those who seek to be disciples, Jesus says it, must be ready to pay the price. How's your list going? You're working on your list?
On the back side of this little sheet, are you working on that? Or is that just something that wasn't very important? What about sacrifice? What about cross-bearing? Philemon.
In this book, short letter, it's a letter that Paul wrote to this fellow Christian, this friend. He is given an opportunity to respond to the call to bear a cross or to make a sacrifice in a real way. And I believe that this letter and Philemon's situation illustrates what it means to bear a cross in at least one instance. Maybe there are many more, I know there are. But this is just one situation. Philemon is a wealthy Christian. He owned a slave. Probably owned a big house. Onesimus is a runaway slave. He's run off from Philemon's house. He's run to the Apostle Paul, or he got into the Apostle Paul's presence, either by choice or chance. We're not sure why. Philemon had very possibly had Paul in his home. And when Onesimus left, he probably searched out Paul. But we don't know that. I don't know that to be a fact. But he got to Paul. And somewhere along the way, Onesimus had become a Christian. Whether it was while he was still in the the house of Philemon or whether after he left and after he got maybe to Paul in prison to visit him there, he'd become a Christian. Somewhere he'd become a Christian. Now Paul is sending Onesimus back to his owner, back to Philemon. And he sent him with the letter that Onesimus is to deliver. You might notice that this letter contains no judgmental statement on slave ownership. You and I would not think of owning a slave now. We would not think that a Christian could own a slave. But it took 1,800 years for this idea to sink in, even in these United States. And in some societies, it still hasn't sunk in. Other countries still haven't gotten it, as we say. In the letter, Paul points out that this formerly useless slave is now useful to both of them because he's a Christian. He's going to be more useful. Christians have to be useful, do they not? And Paul asks for Paul's generosity. Paul asks for Philemon's generosity in dealing with this now Christian slave. This request for Philemon to be generous to Onesimus, it's not merely a suggested favor, but it's grounded upon the recognition that Onesimus is now a beloved brother. He's a brother not only of Paul, but he was a brother of his master. He's a brother of his owner. And it says he's a brother in the flesh and in the Lord. One thing I noticed that Paul is not above reminding Philemon that he, Philemon, owes Paul a great debt. He says, you owe me your very self, but one version says you owe me your very soul, your own salvation. You owe it to me because I brought the message of salvation to you, is what he is reminding him of. Now, let's look at the cross that Philemon had to bear and the cross that Onesimus had to bear. And maybe we can relate that to the cross that we may be called on to bear, even in our modern society. What crosses have you been called on to bear? What sacrifices have you been called on to make? I venture to say that very few of us in this group gathered today have ever sacrificed to the point of it hurting. Have we? Sacrificed to the point of hurting. Bear a cross to the point of it really hurting us. They say, give till it hurts, and then give some more. Who's given till it hurts? Have we? One cross that Philemon had to bear was forgiveness. He had to forgive this runaway slave, or he was called on to. He didn't have to, but Paul really made it, he really encouraged him to. Forgive. You know, we have trouble forgiving. And sometimes it's the hardest cross that we could bear. It's the toughest sacrifice that we could make. Those who have harmed us. And a runaway slave is taking money out of Philemon's pocket. He had invested money in him. That's worse than somebody stealing your horse in the Old West. Or stealing your pig in the Depression times. He needed to forgive. And it's indicated in this letter that Paul writes to Philemon, that you need to forgive him. Did he deserve forgiveness? Well, no.
He was a runaway slave when he became a Christian. Well, he just became a Christian so he could be forgiven. So he didn't deserve. We've seen that. We know people that will make a profession of faith just for the benefit that they can get out of it, don't we? And then when the tough time is over, they forget about the Lord. We know those people, don't we? We've dealt with them. You have, I have. Did this man deserve forgiveness? No, he didn't. He deserved whatever Philemon wanted to do to him, and he could do most anything, from even putting a brand on his forehead of an F to say that he was a fugitive, to kill him if he should so desired. It was Philemon's decision. He owned the guy. But Paul said, forgive him, or indicated that he should forgive him. And that would be a cross to bear. Should not he be made to suffer, or at least to pay back for his actions, the time that he had left, been gone? Oh, he legally, yes. But spiritually, no. Who do we need to forgive? Is there something in our life that we need to forgive? Is there somebody that we're still holding that grudge against? And it's going to take a lot of cross-bearing. It's going to be a tough sacrifice for us to forgive them.
And then acceptance. Paul encouraged Philemon to accept Onesimus as a brother while he's only a slave. How can I accept him as a brother? Accept a slave as an equal. A brother is a member of your family. Acceptance. We have trouble accepting people, don't we? People who are different. It might be for color. It might be for income. It might be the way they dress. It might be the way they smell. But we need, if they smell bad, help them clean up. And we don't need to look at color. We know that. And then the third one, the third cross, and they're not, this is not inclusive, folks. You know that. But the third one is humble yourself. Both of Philemon and Onesimus had to humble themselves. Philemon, to take the former slave back as a brother. And Onesimus, to go back after running away. You know, he had had his freedom. He had been a free man. And he was gone. And Paul said, no, you're going back and turn yourself in. I'm sending this letter with you. He made some good appeals to Philemon that he'd be nice to him. Philemon is left to decide his course of action. Would he merely refrain from punishing Onesimus? Or would he give him his freedom? Or would he accept him as a fellow evangelist? And perhaps then send him back to Paul? It all comes down to what crosses do we need to take up?
What things are standing between us and the kingdom of God, and being really a part of the kingdom of God? What sacrifice do we need to make? What's more important in our life than the kingdom of God and being a part of the kingdom of God? The church. What sacrifices do we need to make? What crosses are we called on to bear? Sometimes we're called on just to swallow hard and go on, you know, or to breathe deeply and go on. Things that we don't like. I don't like everything that I see happening. No, I don't have control of everything. But we keep trying. And we keep plugging away. And you know it's been long term, folks. Concerning the kingdom, that's more important than the local church
but we think, we believe, we hope that we're part of the kingdom. At home, some things that we need to suss up and get on with life. Or, as they say, get a life concerning. Swallow hard. At work. Work's tough, isn't it? Maybe just going to work every day. Maybe that's the cross that you need to bear. Because you've got to provide for your family. And just smile and go on. That helps you and helps the one you're smiling at. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Then that one verse we talked about, not a mite. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite will I withhold. We need to suck up concerning our gifts to the kingdom. You have to decide this. What is God calling on you to do in that regard? Let's turn to 379 and sing. Let's sing the first and the second stanza. First and the second stanza.
Maybe you want to make a public response this morning. Maybe you want to share with the congregation something that God is speaking to you about or has spoken to you about where you need to bear the cross. Take up His cross. Make a sacrifice because you're committed to His kingdom. 1 and 2, 379.
Please stand as you sing.